welcome to the Emmanuel Baptist Church Podcast. We pray that the sermon you're about to hear would be useful as you grow in your love for God and your love for His church. Now, here's today's sermon.
Beautiful. Thank you guys so much. Amen. Before we jump into the word today, I just want to lead our church out in a word of prayer. I want us to be a prayerful people. We are a prayerful people. Amen? And just sometimes there's things that we need to lift up our eyes from our own personal situations and whatever's going on in our lives and see things in the world and be prayerful for those things. Two things I'd like to lead us out in a prayer for before we jump into the word of God today. The first thing is there was another school shooting in Oxford, Michigan. And I'm not sure if you heard about that this past week, but I'd like to pray for that situation. 4 were killed, 7 injured, and I think some still in the hospital, critical condition. Those who died were, I want to read their names to you. Tate was 16. Hannah was 14. Madison was 17. And Justin was 17. To pray for them, pray for the families, pray for the community. The second thing that I'd like to just say a word of prayer for before we jump into the word is, I don't know if you've been following the Supreme Court case regarding abortion, but that's going on right now. Mississippi is working to, and they've made it to Supreme Court, working to overturn Roe v. Wade, which is a very big deal. And this would allow states to make their own restrictions regarding abortion, and so of course this would allow the more conservative states to make more strict laws regarding abortion. It's a very good thing, so I want to be prayerful about that, not only right now, but as we go. Would you be in prayer about these two things? But right now, can I just lead us in a word of prayer for both of these? Lord, we pray for those in Oxford right now, and who are grieving the great tragedy which took place this past week. We know you that you grieve with those who grieve, and you call us to as well. So, God, we grieve the loss of Tate, Madison, and Hannah, and Justin. We lift up the community which is mourning right now, and certainly the families of these victims. We pray that you would bring great comfort to all of them right now, and we pray that you would even present yourself, Lord, to the shooter. Would you meet him with grace, with life transformation, to know the love of God and that it would shape his life moving forward. We also lift up the Supreme Court case regarding abortion right now. This single ruling could really impact thousands, if not millions, of lives. We first confess the atrocious sin that this nation has committed as we have allowed a genocide to take place on the most vulnerable population. Forgive us of this sin, God. And would you influence the lawmakers who are handling this case right now? Would it be a step in the direction of protecting the lives of babies? And would it be effective in upholding the value of life which you create? It's all in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we are in a series, as you know, as of last week, in going through Advent. And I'm calling it The Reason for the Season because, and I said this last week, there's a lot of good things that take place in the time of Christmas, right? A lot of good things that take our attention and our energy and our time, friends and family, good things, shopping, gifts. I'm not so fond of the shopping, but the gifts and the, you know, pretty lights. And there's so many things that we enjoy that are not bad. The cooking and the baking. I know Sarah's going to spend the afternoon with her mom, and that's kind of a tradition. These are good things. But the reason for all of it, the core reason for the season, is the advent of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that advent is the word that means the coming or the arrival So the advent of Jesus Christ to the world to be our Savior. And so we have to ask, why did he come? Why did he advent to us? And actually, he has in his word given multiple reasons why he came. Explicit statements where he says, this is why I came to you. And so as we celebrate Advent, I want us to ask why. Why did he come? And therefore, why are we celebrating? So each week, we're going to look at a new reason why Jesus came. Last week, he said that he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Well, today I want to read in Matthew chapter 10, another reason. If you want to turn there, Matthew chapter 10, verses 28 through 39. If you would you stand out of the reverence of God's word as I read this aloud? Starting in verse 28, this is what the word of God says. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So, everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge before the Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. I've come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. It's the word of the Lord. You can be seated. Thank you so much. So, every week we ask, why Christmas? This week I want to ask that question, why Christmas? And this passage teaches us, because Jesus came to bring a sword. I signed myself up for this series before I actually went through all the passages in which Jesus said why he came. Here I am. Why Christmas? Because Jesus came to bring a sword. It's in Scripture. We have to do something with it. We're not going to shy away from it. All the Word of God is useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking. The whole counsel of God is worth reading and understanding. So, Jesus came to bring a sword? What does that mean? Well, we know it's not a literal sword, right? In fact, he even told Peter at the end of his life to drop the sword because that's not how he was going to achieve his kingdom, right? So he didn't come to bring a literal sword to overthrow nations. That's not his agenda. It's not a literal, but rather a symbolic sword of sorts. He came to, I think, upset, disrupt. You could even use the word attack, the social and religious order. In these regards, he didn't come to bring peace. No, he didn't bring peace with some things. And he didn't come to bring peace even with some people, those who reject him. So I want to spend the rest of our time. This is a difficult passage, isn't it? It's a difficult one. So I want to spend the rest of our time seeing exactly what he means by that. And I want to start back at the top and work our way down as we normally do, verse by verse, looking at this passage. It starts by Jesus talking about the fear of God. Festive, isn't it? He came to talk about the fear of God. That's what he starts in verse 28. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. So he starts in verse 28 talking about fear, particularly the fear of God. And he separates in the next few verses people into two camps, those who ought to fear and those who ought not to fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. He separates us into camps. The first camp are those who don't need to fear God because they accept Jesus. They have no need to fear God. That's in verses 29 through 32. Let me read it again. So he just said, don't fear these people, instead fear these people, or instead fear God. Verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are more value than many sparrows. Everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who's in heaven. So he's saying, if you acknowledge me before the Father, you don't need to fear me because I will acknowledge you and affirm you before the Father who is in heaven, the one who can destroy both body and soul. You don't need to fear because I will affirm you before him. That's the first camp. Those who acknowledge Jesus will be acknowledged by Jesus to the Father and therefore don't need to fear him who can destroy the body. But verse 33 goes to the second party. Those who do need to fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Verse 33 says, but whoever denies me before the Father, I also will deny before the Father who is in heaven. Do you see what he's saying here? Fear not man, for they cannot destroy your soul. Instead, fear him who is in heaven and who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Fear that one. Fear the Father. And then he says, verse 33, if you deny me, I will deny you before the Father, the one who you really should fear. Well, that's not festive at all, is it? Christmas season, that's not very festive. Tell you, not being festive around the Christmas holiday. The church that I served at before here, we had Christmas staff party every week. We would go, we would have like a fancy dress up, really nice, and Christmas staff party. And we were at this, right, and it's white tablecloth, really nice china, and you know, I'm dressed up, suit and tie and everything, and there's about 20 others probably in the room for staff Christmas party, and we had hired this like musician, this pianist and the singer, and we could write down on a piece of paper a Christmas song, and we would put it in and they would play it for us while we ate dinner. Fun. Well, then they invited us to sing along what we had written down on a piece of paper. So at this point we're singing Jingle Bells, we're singing all those fun ones, Dashing Through the Snow, right, and all these things. Well, I wrote down, I didn't know we were going to do that, so I wrote down Hallelujah, and I was thinking of Christmas Hallelujah. Does anyone know that song, Christmas Hallelujah? Okay, so I was thinking that song, so I wrote down Hallelujah. I put it in the little plate, gets to the musician, and she's having everyone sing along. She opens it, you can tell she has a weird look on her face, and she goes, Hallelujah. Well, at that exact time, everyone apparently had the same mind except for me. I have Christmas Hallelujah. I'm like, oh, sweet, here we go. We're going to sing this song. Everyone stands up and starts singing, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. And I'm not even kidding. Ask Sarah. Everyone stands. And apparently that's tradition. Did you know that? Hallelujah, what is it, chorus? The Hallelujah chorus? So tradition goes way back to King George II. I had to look this up later. I didn't believe him. It goes all the way back to King George II, where it's, not sure if it's actually true or not, it's a myth, maybe, but he was so moved when he heard the Christmas chorus that King George stood in reverence to the song, Hallelujah, and everyone else, whenever the king stands, everyone else stands. So, at that point on, it became tradition. When the Christmas chorus is sung, everyone stands. So here we are at our Christmas staff party, and she says, Hallelujah, and everyone knew that rule but me. I was thinking Christmas Hallelujah, and everyone, Hallelujah, and everyone like pushes their chairs back and stands up, and they start singing, and I'm like, what is happening? I'm like, no, sit down. This is the wrong song, not the right song. And Sarah's like, why did you pick that song? And I'm like, I didn't know. And, like, talk about not being festive. That was very awkward. Very awkward. Actually, they still make fun of me. Right around Christmas time, they always text me and they say, hey, you having your church sing Christmas chorus? And I'm like, yeah, real funny. This Jesus talking here, why he came for Advent, it's not only not festive, it's offensive, isn't it? So that awkward, funny, it's not festive, but it's not offensive. Here, this isn't festive and it's offensive, isn't it? Some have reason to be scared of God. Others don't have reason to fear God. Instead, they actually have reason to celebrate because the Son of Man will advocate for them before the Father, who will take care of not only the sparrows, but even them. So some have reason to fear. Others, they have reason to celebrate. They have nothing to fear. This can be offensive to people, I think, because it's so divisive. Jesus has separated people into two groups. He's divided, hasn't he? Saved and unsaved. Heaven-bound and hell-bound. He's divided. Almost like a sword would. Almost like a sword does. Divides things. Separates things. This is, I think, why Jesus says that right before verse 34, where he makes his big announcement, this is why I came. It's because he came to do what a sword does. Let me read it. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. You see, he came to announce there are two camps. Those who fear God or should fear God and those who don't fear God. There are two camps. I came to tell people that they're going to be split right down the middle. And it's going to be a disagreement about who I am. But let's just stop for a second real quick, right? Because he just said he didn't come to bring peace. Does that boggle your mind a little bit? If you've ever read the Christmas narrative in Luke chapter 2, that might kind of boggle your mind a little bit. Jesus just said he didn't come to bring peace. I thought that was one of the themes of Advent. Hope, joy, peace, love. But he just said he didn't come to bring peace. Isaiah 9 prophesies that his birth will bring peace. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He didn't come to bring peace? Not only was he prophesied that his birth would bring peace, but he even says in Luke chapter 2, who his peace was for. Glory to God in the highest, on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. You see, those who acknowledge the Son, he came to bring them peace. We actually know that he brings peace to those who are Christians in a lot of different ways. He gives us peace in tough times. John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. You see, he brings peace. Where even in hard times, your hearts don't need to be troubled. Because for Christians, there is peace at the end of the tunnel. He does bring Christians peace. Brings us peace among one another. You know, the body of Christ is very diverse. And yet, even with disagreements on different things, we can find peace. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. For to this you were called as members of one body. You see, Jesus Christ came and brought peace among those who all believe him as Lord and Savior. Even though different, there's peace and unity in the body of Christ. So he brings peace to Christians for their in their tough times. He brings peace to Christians even in the body of Christ. And best of all, he brings peace to Christians between them and God. There is now peace, where before there was not peace between man and God. Romans 5:1. Having been justified by faith, we have peace. Not everyone has peace. Those who have faith now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ did come to bring peace. He is the Prince of Peace, and with his birth came peace for those with whom God is pleased. They have peace then in troubled times. They have peace in the body of Christ, and they have peace most beautifully with God. So he did bring peace. But he's not talking about that right now. He's saying, yeah, I did come to bring peace for Christians, and I talk about that other times, but right now, verse 34, I didn't come to bring peace. I've come to bring a sword. What do swords do? They divide. They separate things, right? He came to bring division. Do you ever know that? Do you believe that? Jesus Christ came to bring division. It's scripture. That's not just Isaac's interpretation of what sword means here. If you go to Luke's account of this very story, Luke tells the same story, but you know what? He changes the word sword in his. Let's read it. Luke chapter 12 is where he tells that same story. And if you get to this verse, what is verse 34 in Matthew, but if you get to verse 51 in Luke, Jesus says, do you think that I've come to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. It's not Isaac's interpretation of what sword must mean here. Luke tells us what Matthew means by the sword. The sword brings division. It separates things. So Jesus came to divide those who accept him, those who reject him, those who should fear God, and those who don't need to fear God, but instead can celebrate. And he goes on for the rest of the passage. If we jump back into the Matthew's account, the rest of the passage shows us that this division might even be within a single household. You could even see this division maybe even among family members. I read the rest of it, verses 35 through 37. Right after he says, I did not come to bring peace, I came to bring a sword. Verse 35, for I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Is that Jesus' desire? No. What he's saying, though, if you disagree with your father on who I am, be divided. I came to bring division. And these verses that I just read, I know hit totally home for some of you. Because maybe you're coming home back home to a household after the service who is split, who is divided on who Jesus is. I know this totally hits home for you. If you're a Christian, it breaks your heart, I'm sure. Sarah and I have friends in Springfield. When we were there, they got married, and this is why marriage counseling is so good. They got married, and they realized later that they disagreed on whether or not they should have children. One really wanted kids, and one really did not want kids. But they both believed in faithfulness, staying together. I couldn't even imagine the heartache for the person that wants a kid, your spouse doesn't want it. Or vice versa, you don't want the kid, and your spouse just keeps coming up and asking, and you have to keep saying no because you really don't want it. And I just can't imagine the division and the pain that would come into a marriage like that. Even more so, the most important decision of your whole life, what you think about Jesus. I couldn't imagine dividing my household about that. But some of you are living it. Some of you are living that. And so this totally hits home, and you know exactly what Jesus is talking about. So how does Jesus bring a sword even among family members? Well, he divides them with the truth. People, even in the families, are divided by what is true. Jesus said, I came to bring a sword. In Scripture, he uses that same symbol, a sword, to describe the Word of God, the truth. You see in Ephesians chapter 6 that the Word of God is seen as a sword. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You see, the Word of God will divide people. Why? Because the Word of God brings the truth. The Word of God will divide even people that love each other so much, and yet they must be divided on this. Revelation 19, that's why it says Jesus will come with what? Coming out of his mouth. A sharp sword. Professing the truth. Out of his mouth. Which will divide even families. And this is the truth that you and I must proclaim. And it will divide people. The gospel of Jesus divides people. Some will accept the gospel that we proclaim and some will reject it. We're to proclaim it, just as Jesus did. So I want to look at just a quick takeaway as we consider this not so festive Christmas sermon. Christian, I want to talk to you first. If you are a Christian, please listen up to this. As you approach the Christmas holiday, firstly, celebrate God. Celebrate God because you don't have to fear Him. Why? Because Jesus came so that you won't have to fear Him. He came and died the death that you deserved. So when we would put our faith in Him, He says, I will come and advocate before you to the Father who will love you even more than any other creation. So Christian, you have reason not to fear. Don't go through this Christmas holiday in fear. Come through this Christmas holiday rejoicing. He's brought you peace. You know that? He has brought you peace. Peace for your hard times, peace with other Christians, and most beautifully, peace with God. Celebrate Him for that this Christmas. But also, if you're gathering with family who are not Christians, and maybe they're sitting right next to you, amen, that makes me that much more happy. If you're gathering this Christmas with family who are not Christians, I'd encourage you to use the sword of truth. Don't waste the opportunity. Don't waste the opportunity. You know, I really admired, growing up, my grandma. She wouldn't let us open presents until she read the nativity scene, the nativity story in Scripture. Which really, for me, I was itching like crazy because I needed to open my present, and she's a crier. And so that just took a long time, but I needed it. I needed it because you know what? That's the story of my salvation. And it's the sword of truth that will divide people. So I'd encourage you, if you are gathering with family who are not Christians or friends who are not Christians, use the sword of truth like my grandma. Don't be embarrassed. You're a Christian. Read the Bible for Christmas. Read the Bible out loud. And don't try to make it short and abbreviated because people got presents to open. Read the whole chapter. Read multiple chapters. Read the Bible, the story of our Lord and Savior coming and dying for us. Let that speak to their hearts, to penetrate their hearts. And then you know what? Before you eat, pray over the meal. Pray over the meal. You're a Christian. Use this opportunity to profess your salvation. And then you know what? Be open to the conversations that might come because of that. Disagreements that might come. That's okay, because we are never taking a break from being on the missions field, even with family, especially with family. Amen? So be open to the disagreements. Don't shy away from them. Sweep them under the carpet. And let's just have a festive Christmas. Be unapologetic about your commitment to Scripture and about praying. And be open to disagreement if it comes. That's what I'd say to you, Christian. But if you aren't walking with Jesus, I want to encourage you to hear the truth today. It does divide, and swords sting, don't they? So I had Sarah pray over me before I came up here, that she would just pray over me that I would have gentleness and love in this sermon, because it's a hard sermon. And so in gentleness and in love, but in a care for you, I need to say, you have reason to fear God. If you don't walk with Him, you have reason to fear God. Him who can destroy both body and soul in hell forever, you have reason to fear God. If you're not walking with Him today, but let me tell you, on the other side of that, there is peace offered. There is peace offered to you. And in such a case, you won't need to fear God, but you will have reason to celebrate Him. There is peace offered through trusting the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, His death for you, to where you can have peace. In hardships, peace. Among Christians, peace with God. Even in your sin, peace. But Jesus came to make you make a decision. He came to call you to make a decision. He doesn't want you to sit on the fence or to be indifferent. He came to split the fence right in half with a sword where people would fall on either side. He's not content with you being indifferent, and He's not content with you riding the fence. He cuts it with a sword. And I pray today is the day that you would make a decision one way or the other. And it would be to follow Jesus, to trust Him, to accept the peace He offers you. Man, I pray that's the case. If that's the case, I'd love to pray with you and talk with you after service, anytime. My phone number's in the bulletin. Give me a call. Let me pray for us. Lord, I thank You so much for today. I thank You for these wonderful people. I thank You, Lord, for giving us peace. And Lord, I thank You even for the difficult passage today, that You bring a sword, that You make us make a decision, You divide, You split the fence. Lord, if there is anyone here who has not made the decision to follow You, Lord, I pray right now that Your sword would pierce their heart, the truth of Your word would pierce their heart, and You would bring them to decision to follow and to trust, to live for You. God, I just pray for them right now. Would they not walk out this room waiting for another day to make that decision? Pray that You would bring them to decision right now, at this very moment, to follow You, to live for You. Lift us all up now, Lord, as we sing to You. Would You meet us here? It's in Your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's sermon. If you live in or near Bethany, Missouri, we invite you to join us for our worship services held on Sunday morning and Sunday evenings, as well as our various activities on Wednesday nights. For more information on how you can get involved, visit our website at bethanyibc.com.